Well, good morning, everybody. Brothers and sisters joining us online, those of you listening on CD, very warm welcome to our first virtual church service. It's a real joy to be able to welcome you, a real joy to be able to be together in this way. It's funny, isn't it, how much happens in a week. Just a week ago, and ordinarily speaking, today, we'd be gathering together in this building, gathering together as brothers and sisters to worship our great God together. Quite a lot has happened, quite a lot has changed. And I don't know about you, but it feels to me like it's been a very long week. I think perhaps just psychologically knowing that I haven't been able to meet with you all, it just feels as though actually this period of time has been much longer. And we're really just at the start, aren't we? So I think it's really just made me appreciate how much I value the joy of Christian fellowship, how awesome God has given us each other. He's given us the local church, and what a blessing we are to each other. So just want you to know how precious that is. But it's great that the Lord has given us these ways in which, even in these difficult times, we can still enjoy fellowship together. We can still enjoy God's word together. I'm just going to commit this time to God in prayer, and then there's a few notices to go through as well. So let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you that despite everything that is going on in the world at the moment, Father, we thank you that you are on the throne. Lord, that you are a God who is good. You are a God who holds all things in the palm of your hands. And Father, we just commit each other lovingly to your care. We thank you for this opportunity to be together in this way. Lord, we just pray that you would bless this time, Lord, that we would be refreshed and encouraged through your word as Lloyd preaches to us shortly. Father, we just pray that you minister to each of our needs now and glorify yourself in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm just going to read a few verses which perhaps help us to focus on those things that we've just been thinking about, just helping us to focus on the fact that God is in control, that God is our refuge and strength. And those words come from Psalm 46. So I'm just going to read Psalm 46 to help us to encourage our souls. So Psalm 46, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to the Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake in their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Well, just a couple of things to say. This isn't a usual church service. So we're coming either online or on a CD. So we've got a new YouTube channel, which has been set up this week. And so that will be shared through our social media platforms, through Facebook and Twitter and things like that. If I can ask you, if you are watching on YouTube, it would be really helpful if you can subscribe to the YouTube channel, because if we can get 100 subscribers, then what that will mean is that with the address for our YouTube channel, instead of being a combination of like loads of letters and numbers, we can specify. We can have our address as youtube.com/ Newtown Evangelical or something like that. So that would be great if you can do that. We'll be sharing all sorts of things online and lots of devotionals and perhaps just little links to songs and things that can encourage us. If you are listening to this on a CD now and you're thinking, actually, I'd like to be able to kind of benefit more from all of these different opportunities to be encouraged, but you're not quite sure how to go about that, then please get in touch with us. And one of us would love to come round to your house. We'll be 2 metres away, don't worry. And we'll look to set up, get you up and running with things like YouTube, Facebook and things like that, if that would be of help to you. So these really are ways in which we can encourage each other. The other thing to say is if you're meeting together as a family this morning in your living room, we'd love to see you worshiping together, listening to the message together. So take a photo and send it, either email it into us or share it on Facebook with our Facebook church Facebook page. Be great to be able to share that and to encourage each other as we see that we're worshiping together but in different places, and perhaps we'll put a little montage of those on next week's service. So please do that. The other thing to say is that obviously we can't physically meet, I guess one notice is that all of this week's regular meetings won't be going ahead as last week and for a few weeks to come. But we will still be looking to, at the usual times that we would meet, we'll be looking to try and share something which can be an encouragement to our souls. So this Tuesday evening, Geraint will be sharing a devotional which you'll be able to get hold of. And also we would say that the usual times that we would meet to pray on a Wednesday and a Thursday to pray for the lost, we'd encourage you to still do that. So 12:15 on a Wednesday or 7 a.m. on a Thursday. It'd be great perhaps if you just pick up the phone and phone a friend, phone a brother or sister within the church and just pray together for the lost. We're going to look to try and develop things like virtual prayer meetings if possible over the coming weeks as well. So we'll keep you in the loop with all of these kind of things. But there are great opportunities, and it's a great opportunity for us to show love to one another and love for our community. So if you need any practical help, please do seek it out. Please get in touch with the church. And if you're not a member of this church, if you're watching online, you're a local of Newtown, and there is any way in which we can help you, please do get in touch with us. We'd love to help you in any way that we can. So, and just before we come to pray now, just to say as well that if you are if there are particular things in your situation that you'd like us to pray for, please do, again, email in the church, send in your prayer requests, and then on a Sunday morning, then we can make sure that we're lifting these things up, lifting each other up, lifting the nation and the world up before our God. So it'd be great if we can have specific things that we can be in prayer about. So before I do hand over to Lloyd, I'm just going to, again, just commit the whole situation to God in prayer. It's wonderful to know, isn't it, that he is on the throne. So let's just bring ourselves and our world before him. Again, our great God, we thank you for those words of Psalm 46. We thank you the psalmist begins by saying that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Father, we confess that in this past week, in these recent weeks, Father, in some ways it feels as though those words of the psalmist there are being revealed before our eyes, Lord. It feels in so many ways the world as we know it is just falling apart in so many ways. Society is operating in such a different way. Lord, we're not able to be together this morning, and that grieves us. That hurts us. We love the joy of being together, of worshiping you together. But Lord, we thank you that even in these times, that God is our refuge and God is our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And Lord, we thank you that that means that we do not need to fear. Lord, we thank you that the psalmist exhorts us as well at the end to be still and know that you are God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be still. We thank you for this opportunity to just shut away the cares of this week and all that lies ahead. And we thank you for this opportunity to be still and to know that you are God. Lord, we just ask that you would minister into each of our individual situations. Lord, we pray for individuals who perhaps are in some of those more at-risk groups, who are perhaps concerned about what may lay ahead in the coming weeks for them health-wise. Lord, we pray that you would you would intercede, Lord. We pray that you would be near to them. We pray that you would protect them. We pray that you would give them a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we pray that for our National Health Service. Lord, we pray that you would be giving wisdom, that you'd be giving strength to all of those who are treating those who are unwell. Father, we just pray that you would make sure resources get to where they need to, that there are enough masks, that there are enough ventilators, that there are enough people who are well to be able to treat the sick. Lord, we just lift up before you our government. Lord, we've seen them so often in the past week talking about these measures that need to come in place. We pray for Boris Johnson. We pray for Rishi Sunak. We pray for the rest of the cabinet. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom that is not of themselves, but is of you. Lord, we just ask that we would know in these times that you are doing something wonderful in such troubling times. We pray that you would cause us and that you would cause those in our society to look to the only source of hope, Lord, to the only one true God. We pray that we would all cast ourselves upon you. And Lord, we pray for those in our society who are trying to make sense of everything that's going on. Father, we pray that you would enable us to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we know that one day you will wipe away every tear. We know that you will bring in a new heavens and a new earth where there will be no pain, no fear, no suffering, no death. Lord, we thank you that that is what is in store for all of those who are trusting in you, all of those who are trusting in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we just thank you for him. And we thank you that we are able to be here this morning knowing that we are at peace with God, that we have that wonderful eternity to look forward to, not because of anything that we have done. There is no good in us whatsoever. But we thank you that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting in him, we can know peace with God. We can know sins forgiven. We can know the wonder of an eternity with you to look forward to. So help us to encourage each other with these things. We pray as Lloyd comes to speak to us now that you would give him a clarity, really help him to speak words that are from you, that encourage our souls. Father, we pray that you forgive us for our sins and that you would just continue to bless us day by day with your presence in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Ben, for what you've shared. And it's strange speaking into a camera rather than having you all in front of me. But good morning, good evening, or whenever you're listening to this. We're recording this actually on Friday night, but we just trust that this time will be a blessing to you now. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. So we're sticking with our series, but kind of long term, while we go through this process, we're not going to be sticking to our preaching schedule, sticking to our preaching rota. We'll be looking at other passages as well and other themes that would seem more appropriate for these difficult days. So we'll be changing it a bit what we're looking at. And a lot of the messages as well will be evangelistic. Reason being, one of the best evangelistic opportunities we will have over the next few weeks and months will be on social media, as Ben's already shared. So in your evangelism, as Ben has said, share these videos online. Give the CD that you have to other relatives, family members, friends. Maybe wipe the CD before you give it to them so you don't pass any infections along. But as we've mentioned already, like the church's Facebook posts, Twitter posts, let other people's news feeds be completely filled with the hope that you have in Christ. That's the aim. Now, the hardest thing for me, I'm sure the hardest thing for you as well, is that we can't be physically together right now. But Paul, who wrote Romans, also wrote in Philippians elsewhere, talking about the desire that he has for fellowship. He wrote Philippians chapter 1, 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And God willing, that's how many of us feel today, that we're greatly missing our fellowship together, and you long to be together today. And that's good to feel like that, even though it hurts. But Jesus is king. God is still on the throne. Nothing that has happened is outside of his control. And Jesus providentially, not in our wisdom, but in his wisdom, Jesus has positioned us in this moment in history to spread his gospel at such a time as this. So it's an amazing opportunity that we have now, isn't it, for preaching the gospel to those desperately looking for hope, taking opportunities. We must take every opportunity to share the gospel to those who are really frayed at the moment. So we've talked about the influence that social media can have. So just let us show our town the love of Christ in these difficult days. Let's open God's word together. So if you've got, if it will help me or help yourself, if you have a Bible with you, so whether that's on your phone, a tablet, or an actual Bible might be best. So what I speak today probably won't be as long as a typical Sunday sermon, you'll be glad to hear, but we want to do this passage justice as well. So Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1, going to verse 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds on what the Spirit desires. But the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Amen. Let me just pray as we look at our passage now and explore the depth of what God's trying to say to us there. Lord, we do just thank you for this time now. We thank you for what Ben shared from Psalm 46. We thank you for this passage here in Romans 8. Lord, we thank you that this is your word written to us in these difficult days. Lord, we just thank you so much that if our hope and our trust is in Christ, even in these difficult days, that we can say, no condemnation now, I dread, that we are in Christ with sins forgiven. Lord, we just pray that this time now that you'd speak through me to whoever's listening online or in the CDs. Lord, we pray that you'll speak into their homes and fill their homes, which at the moment is perhaps filled with worry and with nerves about the future. Lord, we pray that these homes would be filled with the joy of Christ. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, God is good. And at a time like this, we can lose perspective, can't we? So what a great way to start this time off with the words of verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That puts things in perspective, doesn't it? We might be confined to isolation for a number of weeks or months, but let's put that in perspective. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for eternity. And the fact is, this passage starts with verse 1, no condemnation. It ends with verse 11, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So the passage starts with no condemnation. The passage ends with our bodies being totally renewed. Bodies that won't decay, bodies that won't get old or sick, bodies that will be completely out of reach of any virus. This term, no condemnation, it's a legal term to be set free from any debt or penalty. There's absolutely no charges brought against you for how you've lived your life. And that is stunning. The God who made us, the God who flung stars into space, is the same God that we are hostile to, the same God we've rejected. But if your hope and your trust is in Jesus, it means that God has absolutely nothing against you. He finds no fault in you. He can't find anything to punish you for. We should keep that perspective in these days. And how is that achieved? How is that achieved? And even though this is a sermon online or on CD, we're still going to have a couple of points just to help structure the passage. And there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. How is this achieved? Well, point one is, how were you saved? How were you saved? We've mentioned verse 1 is a brilliant verse, but look how good verse 2 is as well. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So we're free from legal condemnation. Verse 2, we're free from the actual power of sin and death. Our legal guilt is covered, our internal guilt, our internal corruption is covered. But again, how? How did God do this? And verse 3 explains how. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. If you were at our service, actually when we were all together last Sunday evening, we had Romans chapter 7, verse 7 to 25, and we saw there that the law is absolutely powerless to save us. But what the law was powerless to do, verse 3, God did. God's rescue mission was to send his Son, his only Son, in the flesh to us. So when we look at Jesus, we're seeing someone who is 100% God, 100% man. He had to be a fully God, fully man, one theologian put it. He suffered as God because only God had the power to save. He suffered as man because only man owed the debt. So he had to be both. And so verse 3, God sent his Son, fully man, fully God, to be a sin offering, we read. And that's astonishing. The humanity, the planet at the moment is struggling and panicking with this coronavirus. But this tells us there's something far worse than the coronavirus, something far more devastating. And you probably know I'm talking about sin. Yes, the coronavirus may not result in death, but sin brought death into the world. And the Bible says it brings us a second death, eternal separation from God in hell. And it's obviously been in the news around the globe. Scientists are working on a vaccine for this virus, and we can and we should be praying for that. But can you imagine, just with this virus at the moment, can you imagine if just one person could take all the effects of the coronavirus themselves, leaving everyone on the planet virus-free? I mean, if that could happen, the consequences for that one man, I mean, it would be awful, it would be horrendous for him. But he would be proclaimed as a hero, and he would be praised throughout the whole world. Well, verse 3 here is telling us that Jesus has done something similar, but far greater than that. He is, verse 3, that sin offering, that virus-taking sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So with Jesus, we don't just have someone who takes on himself the most deadly virus ever imaginable, sin, but someone who actually brings us to God without any guilt, without any blame, without any sin whatsoever. So God's verdict on you, if you believe and trust in this Christ's sin offering, God's verdict on you is no condemnation. And by the way, this isn't a temporary status. With God, it's not like, oh, if you don't perform well, if you don't pray enough, you don't read your Bible enough, that suddenly you'll be under condemnation again. Because we're prone to think like that, aren't we? We're prone to get the mindset, my relationship with God depends on my performance, how I've done that day. But you don't yo-yo in and out of God's favor. This phrase here, no condemnation, means that condemnation doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. It's not that we've moved out the way of it, but we could return there. No, condemnation has gone. And the pastor, Lloyd-Jones, said on this verse, most of our troubles are due to our failure to realize the truth of this verse. So do you know the truth of this verse? Is this the hope that you have? We are asking in this point, how were you saved? Or ask, are you saved? Are you trusting that verse 3, Jesus was that sin offering for you? And likewise, as we saw earlier in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8 says, you see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is how we're saved. And perhaps we think about that quite regularly. We think about how we're saved. But perhaps the question we rarely ask is, well, why were you saved? Why were you saved? And that's our second heading, why were you saved? And that's where verses 3 and 4 take us. If you look at the end of verse 3 and start of verse 4, it says, and so he condemned in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the spirits. So what we're asking is, if you're trusting Christ, why were you saved? And what we see is everything that Christ did for you was in order that it might make you holy. Now that is amazing. The thing Jesus lives for, the purpose of his mission on earth is to make us holy, to make us like him, to make us Christ-like. Verse 4, the living out the righteous requirements of the law. That's a huge encouragement, a huge motivation to live a Christ-like life. I've titled this message Christ-like life in coronavirus days, if you wanted a title. But for this Christ-likeness, we cannot rely on our own weak efforts. Paul explains in verse 5, it's about the work of the Spirit. Look down at verse 5 in your Bibles. But those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So from verse 5 to verse 9, we see the difference between those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit. Basically, what we see throughout these verses is whatever you have set your mind on shapes your lifestyle. It shapes your character. When you set your mind on something, it's more than just having thoughts or thinking about something. We use the expression, oh, I think about it. No, to set your mind on something is to focus intently, to have your attention, your imagination completely captured and consumed by something. So what does this Christ-like life in coronavirus days look like for us? One of the old Archbishops of Canterbury, William Temple, said, your religion is what you do with your solitude. So what he's saying there is wherever your mind naturally and freely goes when there's nothing else to distract it, that's what you really live for. That's your religion. Your life is shaped by whatever consumes your mind. And in these coronavirus days, what is that? Working from home, with the schools closed, with the isolating, what is filling your thoughts? What is filling your mind at this moment? Could be a good thing, could be family, could be health. It could be, what am I meant to do because there's no live sport to watch? Maybe in these dark days itself, it means what's constantly in your mind is worry. And that on its own is not helpful. That won't help you fight sin throughout the week. Overcoming sin, fighting sin in our lives begins in our minds, this is saying. And fighting sin and beating sin only happens, verse 5, when those who live in accordance with the Spirit have set their mind on what the Spirit desires. So are we doing that? But we need to remember naturally that is not where our mind goes. Our mind's not on the spirit, but on the flesh. That's the condition of everyone before we trust in Jesus. We are from birth, verse 5, those who live according to the flesh. And if you look down at verses 7 and 8, they're powerful verses, aren't they? The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Verse 8, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. This is saying, naturally, by ourselves, we are enemies with God. It's saying, if the mind is against God, our actions will be against God. Now, of course, yes, non-Christians can do many good things, many good deeds, but they don't please God. Because every action is done in hostility against God. But this must not be the way for the Christian. Verse 9 is saying, if you belong to Christ, God's Spirit lives in you. And the key for the successful fight against sin is setting your mind on the things of the Spirit, verse 5. So how can we do that in these self-isolating days? Paul is saying everyone's minds are on something. With everyone, there will be different things that consume our minds. And whatever consumes your mind controls your life. And maybe in these times, what's consuming your mind is that you're extremely worried. I mean, it's easy to be worried at the moment. And I'm sure all of us are a bit concerned, unless we're totally heartless or uncaring. But maybe for some of us, the worry has just become totally debilitating. It's the worry that has just consumed your mind. And if it is that because you've forgotten that you're a child of God and that your heavenly Father is controlling the whole universe in a way that is best for us? Over-worry in these days is forgetting the things of the Spirit. So if over-worry is tempting to consume us this next week, what should we set our minds to then? And this isn't talking about, okay, I need to be constantly thinking about theology all the time. That's not what he's saying. What does it mean to set our mind to? And all the things in the rest of chapter 8, we can see things that we will set our minds to. And we'll come to them in the coming weeks. But how about setting your mind on these things this week? Verse 15, the Spirit doesn't make you slaves, the Spirit makes you sons and daughters. How about setting your mind on verse 18? I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. How reassuring is that in these days? Verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 38 and 39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, and there's a whole list there, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So can I just encourage you this week, set your mind on those things. You will have a lot more profitable, a lot more peaceful week if you did so. If you want to be less worried, read the Bible more than you read the news. But you might be like, okay, well, what happens if I do get the virus? What happens if I do get ill? Well, then verses 10 and 11 are for you. If you're setting your mind on the things of the Spirit, one day your flesh will follow your spirit. It's what it's saying. In verse 11, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. This is saying God doesn't just renew our minds. One day, praise God, he will renew our bodies. Which means we can live a Christ-like life in coronavirus days without fear. And our good friend Spurgeon, he says that the Christian is never promised that they won't get sick or die from a virus, but he says, quote, the Christian need not dread sickness, for he has nothing to lose and everything to gain by death. And we look in the past, the church in times of plague and in sickness, the church in the past didn't just survive, but the church thrived. And I trust that through the help of the Spirit, we will be doing the same. We said last week that Tozer quote, a scared world needs a fearless church. And now is the time for the church to act, to move towards others in faith when everyone else is pulling away in fear. And just lastly now, if you're watching and you're listening, or watching or listening to this, and you're not yet a Christian, you're not yet a Christian, and you are still under condemnation, during times like this, when everything is failing and falling, when jobs are lost and family are distant, when the establishment just seems to be crumbling, right now, what other rock, what other refuge do you have if it's not Christ? I'm going to finish there. We're going to go to a short, usually when we finish a sermon, we go into a final hymn. And it's difficult to do that now, but we've actually got a few singers here with us tonight. We're over 2 meters away from them, so that's fine. But we're just trying to think, what other rock, what other refuge do we have? We're going to hear this song and sing along with it as you hear it. Abide with me. And we hear there, change and decay I see in all around I see. You who changest not, abide with me. And later on, where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if you abide with me. Is it Christ that is your refuge? Let me just pray before we go into that. Lord, we do thank you for if our hope and our trust is in Christ, that we can say, there is no condemnation for me. It is gone. And Lord, we do pray that we would be Christ-like people in these difficult days ahead. Lord, we pray that as everyone is pulling away in fear, that we will go out in faith. Lord, we long to hear that day when many, many people will say, I came to Christ during the time of the coronavirus. Lord, we pray that that would be the case, that your church will be built, that Christians will be bold, and you saving will be occurring all across the planet. Lord, we do pray this, the words of Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Abide with me, thus falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comfort
May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.